Check, check, check. Good. Everybody doing all right today? As best you can with what you got. All right. Well, we are so glad that you are here today on this most unusual morning. Yeah, I think this is probably the first time in my life, or in my ministry at least, of almost 30 years that we almost went 3 weeks without getting together, not related to something like the pandemic. It's been crazy weather. But the Lord smiled on us today, even though there was a lot of wait until the last minute, making sure that the power came back on, making sure that the place was warm enough for folks. But it really is a pleasure and a privilege to have the opportunity to be able to be back together in the Lord's house, whether you're here in the multi-purpose building, whether you're outside in the car listening on 105.5, or whether you're in the sanctuary, or even if you're at home watching by way of social media. We are so glad that you are here. And one of the things that we just seem to be missing out on, the hard part with all the pandemic things, is the fellowship. How many of y'all miss the fellowship? Just being able to sit down and really talk with somebody, or be able to give that handshake or that hug, or whatever the circumstance or situation may be. I've seen, you know, we're all really hungry for that type of fellowship. Now let me ask this: how many of you all have happened by somebody by chance, and you've had that chance to start to talk a little bit, and then all of a sudden you realize you've been talking for about 2 hours or something, because it's just you don't really realize it, but we are just we're human people. We're designed to be able to function together, and one of the qualities of church is the fellowship, and those are some of the aspects that we really miss. But today, we're going to do the best we can to try to have some form of normalcy. So even though we're a little bit spread out, here's what I want you to do: look around you, look at somebody, give them a really good smile and a wave, and tell them good morning. Say good morning. I'm glad you're here. Okay, if you're in the sanctuary, look around over there. Tell somebody, good morning, I'm glad you're here. If you're out in the car, blow your horn or wave at somebody next to you, and you can mouth the words. You can do that thing,
We're glad you're here.
That way they'll know what's going on. If you're part of our online community, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Say good morning to somebody. And if you sit back and say, well, I just don't know anybody on this thread, say good morning to Dr. Gant, who's over there right now manning the online community. He's able to be there and actually have an opportunity to communicate with each and every one of you. But say hello. And you guys, over the past couple of weeks, did a fantastic job in interacting when we were totally online. Thank you for that. That's like saying amen in church. And you get a preacher preach himself to death if you do that to him. But at any rate, we're so tickled to be able to be in the house of the Lord together with God's people together around his word. So as we begin today, let's start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for this opportunity to be able to gather. And Lord, although we know that church is not about a building, but rather about a people, Father, what a joyous and important aspect fellowship is. What a joyous and important experience being able to get together around the common cause of Jesus Christ is. Lord, how special is it when we can come around your word together and we can do life together? That's the way you designed us. That's the way you created us. So, Father, this morning, thank you for those that are here. Thank you for those that are in our sanctuary, those that are out in the cars. Father, those that are going to be viewing online today, those that will be viewing online this week. Father, we are one. There is only one church, one body of Christ. But we thank you today for a warm building where we can come together around your word, where we can come together and pray together, where we can look upon each other's face, where we can smile at one another. And Father, I just want to praise you and thank you for the joyous opportunity that you give us today. May we never take that for granted. So Lord, today we just ask that you would help still our hearts before you and in your presence. And Lord, I just pray in a very, very special way that you will speak to us loudly and clearly, and that we will be blessed because we have taken the time to come around your word today. For Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Technical difficulties this morning, and they happen all the time. We're not on the air. Will we be on the air? Is that going to be something that's... What's that? Okay, so where we are, at least at this point, and David could probably let our online community know that we are recording video, and we will put the video up as soon as we have a chance. Obviously, you know, we had a power glitch or a power outage, so we're going to do the best we can to make sure that's up. I believe the folks in our sanctuary should have audio. we're back up and working. Hey, that works. David, are we good over there that you can see? Okay, good. Hey, we're back online. For those of you who just came back on and are joining us, obviously we are having power issues in the Oak Ridge community. I believe that we might be just like one of the very few people in Oak Ridge that actually have power at this point. So if you were watching it at home, don't get frustrated. Hopefully you didn't leave, but the power actually went completely out just a few minutes ago. So therefore we lost all of our online feeds, our Wi-Fi, we lost everything. But if you hung around, we're glad that you're back. David, are we doing pretty good over there on the online community as far as we're looking with folks there? Because I know it said it was interrupted. It said we'll be back in a minute, but technical difficulties happen, folks, but you know what? We're just trying to make sure that we bring the rest of the flock in together so we can gather around his word. But at any rate, if you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Today is a very special day, hopefully, in everybody's life, for some reason or another. It's I guess you could call it a holiday, but it's a time of observance. Now, what is today and what do we observe? It is called what? Valentine's Day. Now, how many of y'all remember? I don't know if it's still like this or not, but I remember in grade school, you'd make the little envelopes and have everybody's name on it, and everybody would do Valentine's, and you'd put, how many of y'all did that? Yeah, okay, good. I don't even know if that still happens or not, but nonetheless, yeah, we would have little Valentine's parties, and then as you got a little bit older, you know, it became more about your sweetheart, you know, when you got into that junior high school, really awkward phase when, you know, you try to go, you know, go up and talk to that that girl, you know, so you walk up and you're like, yeah, I was just wondering if, and it just went completely crazy. And then into to high school as you started dating, and then in the, you know, the college era, or into the 20s when you started looking very seriously about that person that you may spend the rest of your life with, and what this thing called love would do to people. Now, Valentine's Day is that time and opportunity that we take to be able to celebrate love. Now, it's funny because you begin to see all these things, if you follow any social media or whatever's taking place, you'll begin to see people's Valentine's stories. They'll post them, and everybody gets to ooh and ah, and then you have your own story, and you think about that very special person that you have been allowed to marry or spend the rest of your life with, or take that opportunity to do life together. And you think about all the aspects of love. You think about the ups. You think about the downs through those particular relationships. There are times when folks have been extremely hurt inside because they loved someone and was hurt or disappointed. There have been those extreme mountaintop experiences where you thought, well, it just can't get any better than this. So love is an attribute that every one of us need to know. We need to have. But yet it's still one of those things where it seems like it's awkward in our society today for some odd reason. Now, it's very easy for us to tell our sweetheart we love them. It's very easy for us to, you know, have that romantic dinner or that nice little card, or to be able to show or express that. But I, honestly, folks, I think one of the things that's tough and that's missing in our society today is what I'll call love across the board. Now, when I say that, you know, it's easy for me to tell my wife I love you. It's easy for me to tell my children that I love them. But what is it like when it comes to other people? You know, there's an earmark that the Bible tells us when it comes down to talking about love. It says this. It says, they will know we are Christians by our church attendance. No. They will know that we are Christians by our duties, our programs. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says that people will know we are Christians by our love. So that means that we are supposed to love one another. And what does that look like? Yeah, there are people in our lives that are easy to love, aren't there? There are people that right now that when I said, you think about somebody you love, they brought a smile to your face, they filled your heart with joy. But boy, there are some people that are hard to love, isn't it? Some people that you will come in contact with that make you think of things that don't please Jesus, they're hard to love, aren't they? I mean, let's be honest. They are. They're tough to love. And by the way, have you ever thought about this? What is it like? And there's different kinds of love as defined within the Bible. There's that good and perfect love that's called agape love. There's that eros love, which is the love between a husband and a wife. But there's also this love that's called philos love, which is brotherly love. You know, I can very easily look at JC and tell you, I love you, man. I mean that with all my heart. And you know, when I tell JC that, JC doesn't sit back and go, oh, we need to talk to the preacher about where his stance is. No, he knows what I mean when I say that. Why is that so hard, particularly among men in this society today, to be able to look and say, hey, look, I just want you to know that I love you, that I appreciate you, that you mean something to me. Well, I think society has skewed those lines today, but folks, you know what? It's all right to do that. And it's all right to express that. So the Lord taught us. He never meant for us to go completely in the unknown when it came down to love. He not only told us and showed us what types of love there were, but over in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, don't turn there, because you've heard sermons preached on that before. That's called the love chapter in the Bible. And if I were to define it just for today, in today's message, I would say that this is the academic definition of love. Remember what it says, love is patient, love is kind. It is a descriptor. It gives us all these qualities and attributes of what love is. Now, there's something interesting about academia or academics. You can know here and still not know here, can't you? You can know all the right definitions. You can know all of the good and right and healthy things and still not make application to them in your lives. And Jesus knew that we were this way. And that's the reason why, for just a few moments today, as we not only consider 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the academic definition of the attributes of love, but let's go over to John chapter 13, and I'm going to hit a few verses. I'm going to give you more of the background as we go forward. But Jesus also knew that it's not just enough to tell somebody. Now, I don't know about you, but I can get in a vehicle with somebody as a passenger, and I can ride somewhere, and if they're trying to show me something, I remember back in college when I had a school bus route, the first thing that happened was before they turned me loose on it, they had me ride with the guy that was substituting or was driving, and my route was 120 miles round trip a day. It was a long school bus route. I started early, and I had to go late. Now, if you think about how many stops there would be in 120 miles. So we would, drive. So this guy's going, okay, well, you pull up here and you stop here, and here's where you pick up number one. Well, then you go here, and we turn out here by the Jersey Cow and go, you know, another 4 miles down here, and you stop by the big rock, and that's where you're going to pick up Susie. And then after you pick up Susie, you're going to take the next left by the big red barn. And you know what? I did really good for about the first two stops at keeping it right about here. Then afterwards, it all starts running together. You know what I'm saying? How many of y'all like that too? Yeah, it's pretty good as long as it's just a few things. But then something amazing happened. Yeah, after I was sitting there going, trying to go through it in my mind. After a couple of days, he let me drive. I got to be behind the wheel. And I did so much better at learning that route when I was actually driving, when there was somebody there to help me, somebody there to show me. But yet I knew, I was watching, I was paying attention, I knew what the stops would be, I knew what order they would come in, and we learn so much better when we have the opportunity to practice. Now, can you see where that's going? The Lord told us about love. The Lord has given us the qualities of love. But then he gives us, over in John chapter 13, he gives us an example of this type of love. But before I get into the example, go to John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. John chapter 13, verse 34 says this. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, first let me start off by saying that often people will read that first part and say, oh, a new commandment. Notice verse 34, a new commandment I give to you. Now, the way this is written in the original, this is not a new concept. Jesus is not saying, I want to introduce this new concept of love to you, because that has been throughout the Bible from the Old Testament all the way through. From the time when Jesus was prophesied and coming all the way up through to his death, burial, resurrection, and carrying on through today and throughout all of eternity. Love is a tremendous aspect of this. So it wasn't a new concept. In the original, the way this is written, it was that Jesus was saying, I want to remind you of something. I want to re-emphasize something. I want you to go back and I want you to revisit this thing called love. How many times have we had to do that in our lives? How many times have we had to do that on our jobs where we've had to go back and revisit something because it got off track? If you're a project manager, if you've ever been doing something and you've set out and this is what you're wanting to do, and then things get crazy, a lot like they did this morning. We've got a plan, but then you have to adjust based on what happens. Wasn't anybody's fault. There wasn't somebody sitting out at the power pole swinging the cord around going, oh, unplugged y'all today. No, you have to adjust on the fly. And Jesus said, I want you to go back and revisit this thing called love. That's what he meant when he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, that's a tall order, isn't it? I want you to think about that for a moment. When we sit back and we think about how Jesus, these are the words of Jesus. He says, I want you to love people in the same manner that I love you. Okay, well, how did Jesus love us? Jesus loved us, in short, enough to give up his life that you and I might have eternal life. Do we love our brothers and sisters? Do we love those in our sphere of influence? Do we love those in our community, in our workplace? Do we love our neighbors in that fashion? Jesus said, here's how, I want to give you the example. Here's how I want you to love people. I want you to follow my example in the way that I have. That's a tall order, isn't it? That's hard to do. People sit back and go, look, man, I'm not Jesus. And I would agree with you. You're not. Neither am I. But he's saying, here's an example. Now, with his disciples in this particular passage in John chapter 13, what Jesus did was he gave them an example to follow. This comment that he made in these two verses that we just discovered are following an event where he modeled something for them. And it's not a passage that none of us know about. It's a passage that early on he says this. I'm going to carry you back up, and you can just flip a little bit more forward to verse 3 of John chapter 13. It says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. Now, I need you to get that picture for just a moment. He is with his disciples, those who were following him. And they've had this meal together. The disciples are in awe. They're trying their best. They're trying to get the concept of what Jesus has in store and what he has planned. And they see Jesus get up from the table. And it says, notice what it says, that he went and he took a towel and he girded himself. Jesus is getting ready to do something. It would be much like if you were at somebody's house and you've had dinner with them and you guys are talking, and then you see somebody get up from the table and they go over and put on an apron. Do people still use aprons anymore? Okay, good. Thank you. Yeah. When usually you would know what that would mean. All of a sudden you see the apron go on, they tie it up. Then you're sitting there going, oh, they're getting ready to clear the table, start doing the dishes, put any leftover food up. You know that some work is getting ready to take place. And this is what Jesus did in the midst of the disciples. And remember, the disciples are his followers. They're wanting to do everything for him. They are looking at Jesus as what he says he was, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They still didn't quite understand the whole concept yet. But Jesus went on after he prepared himself, and I'm sure that the disciples were sitting there going, what is it? Whoa, hold on a minute. Yeah, when you've been in a place and you have seen somebody in a role we categorize things, don't we? You see them in like a leadership role, and let's just say maybe you've gone somewhere and here's this keynote speaker, or maybe a guest, an honored guest that's in your house or wherever. You try to do everything you can to take care of the work for them, don't you? I mean, obviously, you know, you wouldn't want the guest of honor to, you know, you don't sit back and go, well, okay, the plates are over there, the food's on the stove, just knock yourself out while you're sitting there. You know, most of the time you serve them and you do for them. You try to help out as best you can. So this is what the disciples were looking at with Jesus, and they're sitting there thinking, he's the master, what's he getting ready to do? And in verse 5, they're continuing to watch what Jesus is doing. He didn't explain to them out of the gate what it was he was doing, but verse 5 says, after that, this is Jesus, after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel which he had girded. Now, we've read this story, or we've heard messages or sermons preached on this probably many, many times throughout our lives. And we have a head knowledge of this. We can even do a really good job at trying to picture what was taking place. But let me make you a promise. Until you have been in the position of either the disciples in this story or the position of Jesus in this story, then you don't have a real understanding of what this story is really all about. The disciples look at Jesus. They see him get himself ready. They see him pour a basin full of water. And they come over, he comes over to the disciples, and he begins to do one of the most humiliating roles and tasks of that particular day. Something that Jesus shouldn't be doing. Mercy. This is not Jesus' job. This is somebody else's job. Jesus, put that, give me that towel. You've been there before. You've seen somebody do that, and you've been like, oh, I tell you what, give me that towel. Give me that basin. I'll do that. That's not something for you to do. This is something I need to be doing. Are you catching a little spiritual concept there? Let me go back and say that. We would go to Jesus and say, you're not supposed to be doing this. This is my job. How are we doing at our job today when it comes down to loving other people? Now, the story gets a little bit thicker along the way. Verse 5 again says that after he poured the water into the basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel in which he had girded himself. Verse 6, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Question mark. Jesus answered to him, what I'm doing, you don't understand now, but you're going to know after this. Now, we know what Peter said. Peter was the guy who really engaged his mouth often before he engaged his brain. He's like, Lord, oh, no. You don't need to be washing my feet. Mm-mm. And in his, you know, he was sitting there, well, I should be washing your feet. And Peter may have been completely genuine about what he thought and what he felt when it came down to these particular scriptures. But yet the bottom line was that Jesus said, here is something that I am going to do for you. And it wasn't something that there was going to be credit for. There was not something that there would be glory in. And it wasn't something that people would be setting back in awe of in a good way. It's not something that would play to a person's pride where they would be walking away going, hey, look what I just did. No, it's a very humiliating thing. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. If today, right now, in the midst of the people that you are present with, whether you're watching from home, whether you're next door, whether you're outside, there are people with you, whether you're right here in this multi-purpose, but what if, well, let me ask you what you would think if all of a sudden I came out with this basin and said, today, I'm going to wash your feet. Now, I want you to think about how that would make you feel. Now, put yourself in the presence. I mean, literally, if I were to walk off of this stage right now and come up to you and say, I want to bestow upon you an act act of love. Now, there's a myriad of things. I've asked this question before in different crowds. I've asked this question when we have actually done this before. We've done this before, and I'm going to tell you why. Because it is one of the very humiliating things that you can do. It will bring up things and conjure up things in your heart and in your mind that you never thought you would think about or be. Now, I know what a lot of people said, and it's some of the answers are actually funny. I said, well, what would you think if I came up and said, today I want, as an act of what Jesus did for his disciples here, to show servitude towards you, if I were to wash your feet, what, tell me what you would be thinking. It was so funny because one person one time said, well, I wouldn't want you to do it. And I said, well, tell me why. And I'm thinking this is going to be this big spiritual moment. And they said, I've heard, well, because I got ugly feet. My toes are crooked. I didn't change socks today. There's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of excuses that we will use to keep from being in that position. But let me make you a promise. It would be one of those things that would make you stop and would make you think. So today, put yourself in that place. If somebody were to come to you as an act of service and servitude towards you and say, I want to do this for you because I love you, how would it make you feel? Now, those things I've mentioned being on the receiving end of that. Yes. Yep. JC just mentioned, he said, did I remember his granddaughter washing the feet of his son? And yes, what a tremendous, tremendous thing that is. Now, when we look at that, I said a moment ago, that's talking about being on the receiving end of things. What would it be like to be on the giving end of that? What would it be like for you to be the person with a basin of water, the person with the towel, the person who has swallowed your pride? Now, and folks, listen, it's not about the fact that your neighbor has dirty feet and that's the reason why you're washing them. You have to understand, it's about the act of loving. It's about the act of being a servant towards one another. Because remember what Jesus said. Remember what I said a minute ago? A picture's worth a thousand words. And in 1 Corinthians 13, he gives us the attributes of love. In the latter part of this passage, he says that what I want you to do is I want you to love your neighbor as you should. And he said, love your neighbor like I love you. And then Jesus said, I'm going to give you an example of this. And he washes the feet of the disciples. Now remember, he washed their feet before he gave them the description. And for Peter, this was a very uncomfortable situation. And I'll make you a promise. If you're in that situation, it will be a situation that will make you very uncomfortable. You might not think it will, but it will. But think about the pride that has to be put down as the foot washer. Think about the humility as the one who is receiving the foot washing. He goes to Simon Peter. And Peter doesn't want him to do it. Now, he had the right heart in this regard because he was sitting there thinking, well, this is not what you do. See, you got to remember, folks, in that day, it was one of those circumstances that this is what a host would do for somebody that was a visitor who was coming to their house. It was a lowly position. That was a position that you would get a servant to do. Man, I'm the owner. I don't do this. You know, it'd be like me saying, you know what? I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to go in there and clean up that mess in the restroom because I'm the pastor of the church and I shouldn't have to do that. Nope. Nope. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, well, this is my place. I've called you to work in my place. There's a mop bucket right back there. Get it. See, it's not up for me to sit back and say, well, you do this and you do that and you do this. Folks, you know what? My duty as a pastor is to love you, is to teach you from God's word and to serve you. Now, folks, when it comes down to you and I, are we doing that with each other? Let me tell you one of the huge problems I see in our society and in our world today. You know what it is? Part of the biggest thing I see as a problem is that we don't love each other like we should. The sad part of that is that extends into the church. Churches have bickering and fussing And we can't get along. We can't respect each other's opinions. Even, I didn't say we always had to agree, but we've got to respect each other's opinions. We've got to love one another and the manner in which Jesus loved us. We've got to stop having the attitudes of hatred towards one another. And people say, well, you know, I don't hate that person. Well, did Jesus sit there and say that just because you didn't like them that you're supposed to, you know, shun them or put them aside or talk about them behind their back? Is that what Jesus said? No. You know what Jesus said? I want you to love everybody in the same manner in which I love you. And if you evaluate that situation in your life, you will see how God has been gracious and merciful to each and every one of us, hasn't he? Remember what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor that he has shown us. Mercy is us not getting what we deserve when we really deserve it. So if we are to be like Jesus, then we need to show grace and mercy even to those that we would consider to be our enemy. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough. But you see, Jesus was addressing those in his crowd who knew him. Those who were supposed to be his servants. Down in verse 12, he goes on, he says, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Here comes the teaching moment. They've all experienced it. They probably all had different thoughts going through their mind. Then Jesus says, I'm going to get to the main point. Do you know what I have just done for you? Verse 13, he says this. Jesus continues to speak. Verse 13 says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, he wasn't necessarily using that as a literal thing to say, okay, well, from now on, we're going to put it on the schedule that we're going to wash each other's feet, you know, three times a week on Monday. No, he was talking about the attitude, the servitude that was going forward. He says, in the same manner that I have done this for you, this is what you need to do for other people. He was talking about their actions. He was talking about their words. He was talking about cultivating that type love. Do we have that type love? You see, folks, that type love is the type of love that gives you the courage and the understanding to look at a buddy or a friend of yours and say, JC, I love you. Roger, I love you. David, I love you. Tony, I love you, man. I mean that with all my heart, without it being taken in a wrong way. And you know what? Love, if you go back to the description, the characteristics and the attributes, love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering. It starts telling us about all these things. Are we functioning in love as God's people with not only the children of God, but with everyone that we come in contact with? Yeah, I don't know if you're like me, what I see is the complete opposite of that in our society today. Don't you? Is it just me? Do we not see people trying to cut each other off at the emotional knees? Do we not see them trying to do things that are hurtful and harmful, to cut them to the quick, to say snide remarks and cutting remarks, to bolster oneself up and by cutting somebody else down? Folks, let me make you a promise. Jesus detests that. He does. And he really detests that with his people in his house. We are God's people. Some of us have heard these statements before. And you can insert your name right here. Yeah, I'll use mine. Roy, you're one of God's children. Start acting like it. Anybody ever say that to you when you were growing up?
You're a Carter. You need to start acting like one. Your mama and daddy didn't raise you that way. You may ever have the, not that my mama and daddy raised you, but how many of y'all ever had somebody tell you that? Or look at you, or the other thing was, I'm so disappointed in you. I would never expect that from you, and I know that your mother and father did not raise you that way. You're doing this crazy thing all on your own because you didn't learn that from your house, because I know your mama and daddy. You need to straighten up and fly right. Folks, let me tell you something. Today, Jesus is sitting there going, you're going to profess me, then you need to start professing the way that I did it. Not the way that you think it should be done. No one's higher, no one's greater. The ground around the cross is all level. And here's the really interesting part. I have just solved a lot of the world's problems if we would just do this. Are you ready? If we would just love one another the way that Jesus loved us, and we would be mindful of that every day, then we wouldn't have a problem of racism in our society today. We wouldn't. If we treated each other equally, we would not have conflict among Christian brothers and sisters today, because we would be able to work through it. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said in the New Testament when he was talking about the courts, he said, why are you Christian people taking your concepts and your disagreements to the courts to be ruled by an unbelieving judge? Can't you sit down and work them out as believers with the love of God, with the methods of God, in a way that you should, but yet you're turning it over to an unbelieving world? What's the matter with you? We ought to be able to get along together. We ought to be able to move forward for the cause of Christ, and yet we have all these issues. Well, I just don't like the way that works. I just don't like the way his motives are. I just don't like this, and I don't like that. But yet we treat each other contrary to the example of God that he gave us through Jesus. And he said, you call me teacher, and I am. You're well to do that. Verse 13. He said, if then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You know what that means? When the bathroom needs cleaned up at the church, it's not above Roy to go clean it. When a piece of paper needs to be picked up outside, pick it up. When I have a brother or a sister that I have a disagreement with, I'm still going to love them. That doesn't mean that we can't talk about it. Why have we got to the point in our society today that we feel like if we disagree with one another that we have to hate each other? We have bought into society on that. You know what? I guarantee you that there's people in this church that don't agree with me on everything, and I don't agree with them on everything. And yet, you know what? We can still go out and win people to Jesus together. Because in essentials, we need to be unified. And I believe we are. But in non-essentials, there needs to be able to be diversity. Are we really, really going to get stuck over a disagreement on whether or not the heat should be set on 72 or 68? Does that sound silly? Come on. Online community, does that sound silly? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? And yet, you know, that's what we do. Whether the carpet's there, whether we meet here, what type chair we sit, what does that have to do with reaching people with the gospel and training them to serve him? Let's spend our efforts and our energies coming together. I've said this 1,000 times, and I've been on a lot of missions. I've done a lot of disaster recovery over the past 30 years. I have worked side to side, shoulder to shoulder with people from various and sundrous backgrounds, and never one time did I ask them whether they were a liberal or a moderate or a conservative or a Republican or a Democrat. Never once did I look at an African American and say, I'm not working with him. No, you know what we did? We jumped in there together for the cause of Jesus and saw great things happen. That, my friend, is what Jesus expects from us. And he said, look, you're not above this. He said, you call me teacher, and you revere me, and you have shown reverence to me, and you have done so rightfully, but yet you saw what I did. So I'm teaching you by example. I'm putting you behind the wheel so that you can learn the bus stops as we go forward. It's time to drive the bus. Verse 14, if then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Jesus said, I'm not asking you to do anything I wouldn't do myself. What is that foot washing in somebody's life around you on a daily basis? Now, I'm not talking about necessarily going and doing the physical act of a foot washing, although that was very symbolic when Julie washed Mark's feet. Her husband. That was moving. That was the start of a marriage. That was a love. That was a showing. I am here to provide for you the best, to serve you. Not in a bad way. Why have we got this idea that if we do something for someone, that they owe us something back? I had a chance yesterday with Blake and Ricky to go and help load up a lady who's moving to Texas, driving a rental truck by herself to move. Yeah, I didn't know who that lady was. Ricky didn't know who that lady was. But it was a Christian brother who said, hey, could you help do this? Yeah. The Mexican food lunch didn't hurt, but that ain't why we went. I know that's not why Rick went either. We went to be able to be helped, to be able to spend some time with Christian brothers, to show God's love to this lady. Now, I don't know about you, but I got a hug. You got one too. Lady was so grateful. She had nobody. And some strangers showed up to help her load everything she owned to get her started on a journey. Why is it not that way today? The Lord Jesus said, I gave you an example, and I want you to follow my example. Now, this was followed by the fact that with his disciples, there was one that was going to betray him. And Jesus told his disciples that. He said, one of y'all is going to betray me. This is the passage where they begin to go through thinking, is it me? Is it me? Am I going to be the one that's going to betray him? But that's not the concept. That's a different sermon for a different day. But go back to verse 34 and 35 as we bring things to a close today. A new commandment. I want you to revisit this, Jesus is saying. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. There are no caveats. There are no conjunctions in that particular statement. That you love one another. It doesn't say unless that person has hurt you deeply. It doesn't say unless you don't like that person. It doesn't say even if that person doesn't deserve to be loved. It doesn't even say even if they're not a Christian. It says that you are to love one another. Verse 34 in the middle of it. How as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The same way I love you, Jesus is saying, that's the way I want you to love everybody. And I know what we do. You mean that guy I can't stand? Yep, I mean especially that guy you can't stand. You mean that person that's always trying to do me in and cut me asunder? Yep, I mean especially that person. And you know what we do? We don't necessarily say it this way, but we sit back and go, I'm not doing that. I am not going to let them get the upper hand. Remember what Jesus said? Why is it that the church doesn't have the influence today that it used to have? Because the word says they will know we are Christians by our love, and we haven't really done a good job at loving people in the manner in which Christ loved us and gave himself for us, have we? I mean, when we look at it, we haven't. We will be ready to fight at a moment's notice. Now listen, there's times to fight over the essentials. There's times to take a stand. I've said that before. There are things that this word right here says that I am not going to waver on, regardless of what people say. Yeah, you can call me whatever you want to call me. I am not going to compromise what God says. I'm going to be with him a whole lot longer than I'm going to be with y'all. And I'd rather please him than man. I don't want you to do that. But what does love look like? Love's patient. Love is kind. Love is long-suffering. And by the way, remember in 1 Corinthians what he said? He said, even though you have, the voices, and even though it sounds beautiful, and even though it sounds perfect, and even though that you make beautiful, harmonious ministry together and all these things, he says, it's useless if there's no love. Remember what he said? Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is charity or love. Why? Because love endures a lot. Another quality that we see in 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 35, he says, why? By all this, what is all this? By loving everyone in the manner that Jesus loves us. Verse 35, by this, all will know that you are my disciples. Have you ever had that notion, or you've talked to somebody and you've watched their activity? You don't really know them that well. You may have just met them, but you see how they carry themselves, and you hear the terminology that they use and the way they talk and the way they treat people. And you have said to yourself, and maybe even to them, that person's a Christian. You ever done that? Well, how did you know that? Yeah, JC says, I ask them, which is good. But you know what? Here's the thing. The attributes of God's people. When people see us, and when people see the love in us, and they know we are different than this world, they will want what we have. And guess what? When people look at you and say, you know what? You're different. I don't understand how you do this. How did you survive that? How did you make it through the death of your spouse or your loved one? How is it that you survived your job and being laid off? How is it that you have survived those attacks by those people who are ruthlessly trying to do you asunder? How is it that you can go through life and still keep a smile on your face? And then you get to tell them, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's how. And that is only how. Jesus said, if you want them to know me, give them an example. Give them an example through you as to what I look like. When people look at our lives, do they see Jesus, or do they see something completely counterintuitive to what they know about who Jesus is? I'm going to ask Lynn if she'd come on up, and just a moment we're going to have that time of invitation. But today I want you to visit that. I want you to visit what Jesus said. You know, maybe today as you came in here, or as you sat down, you know, at home to watch this, or as you've gathered around, today you saw something interesting take place. As we got started, you saw Jesus get up and put his towel around his waist. And he said, I want to show you something. I want to show you what you need to be doing. And I believe with all my heart that we've messed up. The church as a whole has messed up. I believe, honestly, that the pandemic could be one of the greatest God-given gifts to the church. You know why? Because everything that we knew that was pretty much programmed, and all these things that we got on cruise control about, don't exist right now, do they? Folks, I want to encourage us not to strive so hard to get back to the old normal. Because you got to remember this. Jesus, or God, had to get the Israelites out of Egypt to get them to the promised land called Cana. And in the midst of doing that, they had to spend some time in the wilderness, didn't they? They had to leave behind everything that they knew that was to get where the Lord wanted them to be. And I think this has been a time and a moment where God has just stripped us of everything that is holding us back. And he said, now it's time for you to focus on the real deal. It's time to quit worrying about the buildings. It's time to quit worrying about numbers. It's time to quit worrying about finances. I've got all that. It's all in my hand. It's time for you to start concentrating on me and my message. It is time that we start being the examples God wants us to be in the hearts and the lives of people. Now, folks, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that programs are wrong. It's just that they become wrong when that becomes the focus of what we do rather than the outcome of why we do them. Nothing wrong with Awana. In fact, the greatest part about that is why we do it. And the really cool part about that is often these kids won't even know why we do it until later on in life. When they hit that rough patch in life and they cry out to God, and all of a sudden God begins to bring back to them all the verses of His Word that they've learned to apply it to their life. See, we're working for the future, not just the here and now. What about the here and now? Folks, I miss singing praises to Him. I miss sitting down with y'all, talking. I miss serving with you. I miss the mission trips. I'm sitting here thinking, I should be getting ready to go on a mission trip right now. And the Lord said, shh, 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 shh. Sit down. There's some things you need to learn in the quiet time. Quit being so busy to get out of them that you miss what I've got for you right here. Honestly, in my life, the pandemic has been a great opportunity for the past 11 months. Personally, how about you? I've spent more time with my family. I've had opportunities to have my son serve with me, although he doesn't even think about it that way. He's been right there digging with me. And God's been teaching him some things that could never be taught by me. And to Central Baptist Church, he said, let's put all this aside for a minute. Let's refocus. Let's quit worrying about all this other stuff and start getting back to the basics. And it all begins with loving one another. Can we do that? Can we love each other in the manner in which Christ loved us? Man, I love you. When I tell you I love you, I mean that. I mean it. I love serving with you. But the Lord says, well, y'all go over there and fight it out, and when y'all get done, I'll show back up. No, it's time to put all those things aside. Not that we're sitting here fighting in the church, but you know what? It looks a lot different, don't it? I'm just thankful today to stand in this pulpit. I got my fix today because this is what God called me to do. I was so glad. I was sitting there thinking, Lord, please not 3 weeks in a row. I mean, you know, I preach to a camera, but still, it's not the same. Not 3 weeks in a row. And it's not because of the economy of the church, although that's important. It's because this is what God's called me to do. What's God called you to do? Well, let's do it. Let's do it. Can we love one another the way Christ loves us and gave Himself for us? Can we show grace? Can we show mercy? Can we have a bulldog tenacity to go out and reach people with the gospel message no matter what? See, if we did that, we wouldn't have half the problems we have in our society, would we? Think about it. Let the Holy Spirit wash that through your life. Let me ask you, do you know Jesus as your Savior? Sometimes I understand what people say when they say, well, you're just bringing a form out there. There's nothing magical about praying. No, it's not. But you know what? It's a great way to begin your relationship with Christ by saying, Lord, you know what? Today, I understand I'm a sinner and I need you as my Savior. I'm asking you to come into my life and save my soul. Have you done that at some point in your life? Listen, if not, then I'm going to ask you right now to pause where you are as the Holy Spirit works in your life and just simply say, Jesus, I believe in what you did on Calvary's cross. I believe you were crucified for my sin, that you were buried, and that you rose again on the third day, that you've ascended back to the Father, and you're preparing a place for me. Save my soul in Jesus' name. Listen, if you did that, I can make you the promise that the Lord heard your prayer because the Holy Spirit convicted your heart. And heaven's rejoicing. We want to rejoice with you. Listen, if you did that, please let us know. If you're part of our online community, let Dr. Gant know. We'd love to get you some information, help follow up on your growth process. And we want to celebrate you. Man, everybody likes a celebration, don't you? Sometimes people are like, well, I just don't want people to see me. I'm not up front. Don't rob us of the blessing of celebrating with you. We want to do that. That's the cool part. That's the fun part. Listen, maybe you're here today and you have been so sucked in by the world that you're off kilter. You're off focus. The Lord said, a new commandment I give to you. What new? He said, revisit it. Are we loving our neighbor as we should? Are we modeling Jesus in the lives of other people? Or do people look at us and say, if that's Christianity, I don't want to have anything to do with it? When people look at us as a church, do they say, I really want to be there because those people love me? Well, you know how you love people? You got to love them when the times are bad as well as when the times are good. That means you got to cry with them as well as laugh with them. That means you put forth the effort and you become part of the family. I love that, don't you? You are my family. We don't just call each other brother and sister because it sounds cool. It's because spiritually we are. And you can choose your friends, but you can't choose family. So you're stuck with me. If you're a believer, you're stuck with me. You better get used to me. I might be that little brother that's trailing around on you going, hey. What a joy that is. You know why? Because how many times have we had to lose something before we ever appreciated what we used to have? That holds true for church, doesn't it? You never know what you got till it's gone. How about today? We thank the Lord for what we have. How about we model for Him what He wants us to model and be an example? Maybe today the Lord is saying it's time for you to surrender your will and your thoughts to me. And if He has, then just simply say, Lord Jesus, today I realize through conviction my errors. I confess them before you today, Father, and I ask that you forgive me, restore the joy of salvation, restore the joy of a walk with you, and help me be an example, a walking example of Jesus Christ in the people I come in contact with. Thank you, Father, for repentance and forgiveness. In Jesus' name. I'm just going to ask that as you continue your prayer with the Father, as Lynn plays, you do business with God. I'll be back in a moment to dismiss us.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed. Come to thee, O Lamb of God.
Pray today that those words that Lynn lifted up could be words from your heart, just as I am. That's the way he wants you to come. He doesn't want you to correct what needs to be corrected, right? He don't want you to do that. He wants to do it through you. He says, you come to me just as you are. And I pray you've had an opportunity to do that today. And just a moment, I'm going to have us a word of prayer. Don't forget that as you make your way out, we do have our tithe and offering box here in the multipurpose building. There's also the offering plates on the offering table in the sanctuary over there. If you are viewing and don't have a church home, we encourage you to actively support the ministries of Central Baptist Church, that God may bless you in a mighty way, as well as us here at the church. You can go to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. There is a giving tab there, and you can contribute to the ministry, that the Word of God may continue to be able to go forward. We've missed several weeks, but God has really been good. He has blessed us through you. The bills are being paid, and that is in and of itself a blessing that we don't have to worry about. So I'm going to have a word of prayer, but then I'm going to ask you to do something. I have a few prayer requests that I want to mention, but I want to wait until we go off of the air to mention those. So let me go ahead and have us a word of dismissal prayer, and then when Don lets me know that we're clear of our live stream, I'll go ahead and give you a few names of folks that we need to pray for, okay? All right, let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house today, to gather around your word. Lord, I pray that you truly will help us as we strive to be like Jesus, Lord, to love like you have. Father, we're not perfect. We know and realize that, but Father, help us to do better than what we've done in the past. Help us to redeem the times that we're in right now, that we might draw close to you, that we might be a true witness for you, and that, Lord, not only ourselves individually, but we as a church would become what you want us to be as we travel this journey towards heaven. Lord, just help us, lead us and guide us as only you can. Father, bless the gift and the giver of the tithe now as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, when Don lets us know we're clear, I'll give you a few announcements, okay?